Velkommen til Støperiet I Hamar Frikirke. Vi et møtepunkt for studenter og unge voksne, der målet å bli bedre kjent med Gud, hverandre, og at flere skal få høre om Jesus. Sjekk oss ut på Facebook eller Instagram, @Støperiet Hamar. Her kommer ukens budskap.
My name is Justin Morehouse. I'm 38 years old. I'm going to sit on this chair because I did something to my foot. I'm married. I have three kids, three boys. Reason why I didn't come up right away, I knew I was supposed to come up. I just got a text that one of my boys got into the fireplace. It's really fun with three boys. With three boys, I've seen a lot of these. Do you guys know what this is? Have you guys seen one of these before? What are they used for? When you see this, what do you associate it with? Tannlege, doctor. Anybody else have anything they associate that with? It's just a regular rubber glove. Lege, yeah? Doctor? Cleaning, yeah? Painting? Yeah? The American Grenzwacht. All of these things that were just said, including that last one, are a lot more fun than what I associate this with. Diapers. Yeah, even that is more enjoyable than what I associate these gloves with now. My boys really got into these gloves. So they were wearing them all the time, everywhere. And you guys might have seen them around here on Sundays. They even had them on here. I apologize for what you're about to hear. One of my boys had to go to the doctor because he got a thing stuck in his ear, and the doctor asked him, what do you want? And he said, I want a pair of gloves. But then he got a pair of gloves also for his other brother. And so they wore them constantly. There was about 3 weeks, I think, they wore these gloves constantly. One of my boys, he slept with them on. So I actually bought a box of gloves, just like this. So that we could take them off while they were sleeping and they would have some new ones in the morning to put on. And the reason why I associate this glove with something not very nice was a couple weeks ago, one of my boys, we were sitting down at the dinner table and he said, I have to go to the bathroom. Okay. So I helped him, went to the bathroom. He does everything himself, you know, even wiping his backside. Well, he had the gloves on the whole time. And I saw him wipe his butt. And here I'm thinking, okay, this is a teaching moment. We're gonna talk and let him make some choices about what's about to happen. So I said, okay, buddy, it's time for you to wash your hands. He's like, no, I did. I don't need to wash my hands. I had gloves on. Okay. Yeah, you did. But you also used those gloves to wipe your butt. No, it's okay. I had gloves on. It's fine. And he and I argued all the way back to the dinner table. And I'm sitting there at the dinner table. Well, buddy, I don't want you sitting at this dinner table while you have that glove on because I know you touched your backside with it. No, I can have it. He was arguing. And I said, why do you want to do it? Well, I want to. It's my choice. I get to do it. I'm like, yeah, buddy, it is your choice. But you had that on while you wiped your butt, and now we're about to eat. Yeah, we are. And he went over and grabbed the spoon in the sour cream, the remme, and of course, on these, they fit me really well. On him, they're dangling, you know. He reaches in to get the sour cream, and the end of the tip on that glove that he had just wiped his butt with landed in the sour cream. So I have one question for you now. Anybody want to come over for tacos? Yeah? You want to? As long as you don't have the sour cream? This fall, we've been going through 1 Corinthians, which is a letter to the Corinthian church. And there's a situation that we're going to talk about today that's a lot like the poopy glove. It's one that I had actually thought about not talking about because it's not nice talking about poopy gloves. I'm giving you a little insight into my family that my boys walk around with these gloves. Luckily, they don't use them anymore. We have helped them choose not to use them. But there's a situation at church that's not very nice. It's actually quite scandalous. It's one of these situations that you could find in some kind of tabloid magazine. In the States, we had a talk show called Jerry Springer. This would be on that show. It's in chapter 5. And up until this point, we've been looking at the Corinthian church. It's a very interesting church. Paul, during one of his mission trips, planted this church in the city of Corinth. And Corinth is one of these cities. It's a lot like Bergen. It's one of those places where people travel to all the time, or like London. People travel through it all the time. There's all kinds of cultural things happening there, a place where things are happening. New ideas are coming, and they're spreading over the whole world. And so Paul decided, okay, I'm gonna spend time and plant a church in Corinth because here the gospel of Jesus Christ can reach a larger amount of the world because of the people that come and visit. But the church isn't doing very good. And we have a situation where the church is definitely not doing good because of what it's showing society around them about the church in Corinth, their actions and their choices. And in a way, they're misrepresenting the gospel. So we're going to be in chapter 5. We'll start in chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually, do you have the text? Yeah, thank you. I said it to Reuben before this, but these guys back here do a really good job. I really appreciate what they do. It is actually reported to me that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not found even among pagans, for a man is living with his father's wife. Are you arrogant? Should you not rather have mourned, so that he who has done this would have been removed from among you? So here's the situation. There's a guy who is in the church, he's a member of the church, who is in a consensual relationship, living with his stepmom. Does anybody know anybody around here that does that? Oh, we got one guy. Crap. This is not normal. And Paul mentions that this is something that is not even found among the surrounding culture that they live in. They live in one of the hottest hotspots of culture in the Roman Empire, and this kind of activity is not found there. In fact, Roman law, if we were to look at Roman law and this type of activity, it's actually illegal to do this. There were cases where people who have been found in this type of relationship in the Roman Empire were taken and put on an island away from society because it was deemed so immoral. And here we have a guy who, if you think about this situation, you have a guy who is living with his stepmom, who was married to his dad, and actively going into the congregation of the Corinthian church. There's a lot of players that are involved in this situation. It's not just something you can read two sentences on and go, oh, that's not nice. This is kind of a big deal. There's actually illegal activity taking place in the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church is not doing anything about it. Uh, That's why Paul takes this so seriously. He says, should you not rather have mourned, so that he who has done this would have been removed from among you? He's actually calling for this person to be taken out of the church. Is that love? Is that actually gracious and compassionate? Is that how, as a church, we are to act with people who are caught in sin? Ask them to leave the church. That's an important question. In our day and age, it's not. It's actually, the church is here for us to show love and compassion to people who need it. But here Paul is saying, no, this person needs to be removed. It's kind of a big deal. But I want you to think about it this way. Going back to the poopy glove. My son sat down, put his hand into the sour cream. Poop goes everywhere in the sour cream. I just see it in my head, little particles. And I had to finally, there came a point when I had to say, okay, buddy, now you don't have a choice. You have to leave the table. It's time for you to go. Well, why? It's my choice to have this on. I said, yeah, you can keep the glove on if you want to. Don't touch anything and go to your room. You're not allowed to be here now. Well, why? Why can't I be here? Because you just put a glove into the sour cream that has poop on it that you just wiped your own butt with because you wanted to. And now the rest of us have to deal with it. I don't get to have sour cream on my tacos now because you put poop in it. He's like, I don't want to. And I said, no, you need to leave. Go to your room. So he got up and he got halfway down to the room and he came back and he took his glove off and said, okay, I'll take the glove off. And he went and threw it away and went and washed his hands and came back to the table. This is what I think Paul's trying to get at. There is a situation that's taking place that is going to infect and cause such a ruckus in the church. I just said ruckus. That this person needs to be removed. And he'll reiterate this in verse 6. If you can put that up. Your boasting is not a good thing. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Clean out the old yeast so that you may have a new batch, as you really are unleavened. For our paschal lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This person's sin, Paul is describing, can affect the whole church. So his focus isn't just on this man. He's actually addressing the church at this point, which I find interesting about this story. The focus isn't on the actions of this man. The focus is on the inaction of the church. The inaction of the group of people that he belongs to that aren't doing anything about this illegal activity that he's involved in. The focus isn't on the sexual immorality. The focus is on the illegal activity that is taking place that can affect the church. Does that make sense? And just like I had to ask my son to leave the table because he was affecting the rest of us at the table, Paul is saying this guy needs to leave the table. They're letting a situation affect what is happening in the church, when in fact they should be looking at the other way. His activity is damaging the church. They're what does he say in verse 6? Your boasting is of no good. I've heard some say about this verse that it actually seems that the church is boasting about how free they are because this guy is in their church and he's living this type of lifestyle. I can kind of agree with that in a sense. I don't know if that's the focus, but if they're boasting, if they're saying they're so free and they're so good that even this kind of guy can be in their church, I think Paul is trying to get them to go back and see, well, this is not the basis of what we're here for. He mentions that the Paschal Lamb of Christ has been sacrificed. Therefore, they need to celebrate the festival. They need to focus on Christ. They need to focus on the gospel. And this guy who is involved in this illegal activity, living with his stepmom, is not a representative of the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? That's what we have to ask ourselves. The basic gospel of Jesus Christ is that the world turned its back on God. And all of us, being brought into this world, turned our backs on God. And in a sense, God didn't want us to turn our backs on him, but wanted to still be with us. And so he sent Jesus to bear the burdens and to take our place as this lamb in order to bring us back to him. The very sins that this man is committing are what Jesus died for. And the church and people were brought to Jesus so that they at this time and also us today represent Jesus to the rest of the world that have not met him yet. So then the question we have to ask is, in this situation with the Corinthian church, when did it become okay for there to be this gross of sin in the church when that sin is exactly what Jesus came to die for? When does it become okay to have sin in the church when that's exactly what Jesus came to die for? When does it become okay? The focus of these people at this time was the fact that they're free. They're living in a Christian freedom that is supposed to be this new great thing. When in fact, they're not focusing on Jesus, who is actually the one that brought them together to be the church, to give them salvation and to go forward. So Paul is asking them to remove this man so that their focus can go back to Christ and what he's done for them and not on being so free and evolved that this type of sin can be active in the church. And we'll see now what Paul is trying to get to. Because really, up till now, the focus isn't on the sin, on a specific sin. It's not on actually the activities of this man, but it's on the inactivity of the church to understand that Jesus came to die for the things that this guy is involved in, and he is to be the focus. But now we'll see even more of what Paul is trying to get at. In verse 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral persons, not at all, meaning the immoral of this world, or the greedy, or the robbers, or the idolaters, since you would have to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother or sister who is sexually immoral or greedy, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or robber. Do not even eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging those outside? Is it not those who are inside that you are to judge? God will judge those outside. Drive out the wicked person from among you. Now, this is not very nice. It's kind of heavy. It's actually really heavy. If you guys could stand here and look down at your faces right now, you're thinking, what is this guy talking about? This isn't all nice and higgly. But here's what Paul's trying to get at. When Paul brings up somebody who is an idolater, he labels somebody as an adulterer, or somebody who is greedy. The idea, I think, behind it is that it's not the actual activity that person is involved in. If this list was put over my life in the last week, you would ask me to leave. If we were to go word by word through this, I was a little greedy this week, actually. I switched jobs because of a better pay and stuff. So you could call that greedy. But is that type of greed that means that I need to not be associated with you anymore? The type of greedy that he's talking about here is that your life is defined by this activity. Your life is focused on this activity. The goal of your life is to achieve this thing. This man who was sleeping with his mother-in-law, he chose to live in a consensual relationship with his stepmom. He physically moved his life into a house with this woman, and that's what was defining his life at that time. Same with being greedy. If I start a business and that business is so that I can take advantage of other people in order to make money, that's defining my life. So this list isn't about, because you could read through this list and maybe there's something in here we got to take care of that you guys see, oh, God's convicted me of that sin. The point isn't the sin that we can all struggle with or be tempted with, but the point is that these things identify and define your life in which direction you're going. And when you look at these two lists that are up here, you have people that are outside of the world that are defined by these things, and people who are inside the church that he's saying not to associate with that are defined by these things. The problem is those inside the church that are called brother and sister are to be defined. The direction of their life is supposed to be defined by the fact that they follow Jesus Christ. So we cannot judge those who are outside of the church by this criteria because their life isn't defined by that point. We are called brothers and sisters because we follow the same Lord and Savior. We are in the same family. So we can't hold people outside of the church to the same standards because they don't have the same values. That's not our place to judge. But here we have a situation where the outside world can actually judge somebody inside the church because of their actions, their illegal activity. And what does that say about the church? That doesn't put Jesus into a good light. So Paul would say, don't associate with anybody that's defined by these things, because if their life isn't focused on Jesus, then they're not a part of the family in the same way, because that person can affect the rest of the family. Let's put it this way. Ask a question. How do you think this guy's dad felt about this situation? This guy's dad, if he's still alive, we don't know. I'm assuming. This guy's dad finds out that his son is now living with his wife or ex-wife. We don't know what the situation is. But at the same time, his son is going into this new Christian thing, this church down the road, that's celebrating the fact that he's sleeping with his stepmom. What does that say about the church? In that dad's mind, is that a place that you think he wants to go? No. He wouldn't touch that place with a 10-foot pole. That is not something for him. It can grow bitterness. It can put Jesus into the slide of saying, okay, this group of people are saying it's okay for my son to actually sleep with my ex-wife or with my wife, which is an illegal activity. Jesus isn't being represented for why he came to the earth through the actions of this man and the inactions of the church by not taking this man out of the church. I asked you a question at the beginning after I told my story about my son. Do you want to come over for tacos? After hearing that story, you guys would walk into my house and think, okay, what are these boys have touched with their poopy hands? Can I sit here? Can I actually eat that? Take that same feeling of grossness and think about this dad. Is this a place where he really wants to be associated with the people in the church or the Jesus that they represent? Because they are okay and actually celebrating the fact that they're so free that this man can do this thing that he can. I was a little unsure about actually talking about this tonight because it's such a heavy topic. And it's not a very nice one to think about. And honestly, I didn't hear God say, I want you to talk about this because there's one person in this room that is struggling with sleeping with their stepmom. That's not my point. But I have two things that I want you to walk away with tonight after thinking about this crazy story of this crazy situation that's taking place in a church thousands of years ago. The first one is, how are we doing in being a light by our actions and activity to the people around us? Are we focusing on being free and being evolved to the point where we're just kind of starting to be okay with things and not focusing on Jesus? Because think about this. This guy didn't all of a sudden one day come into the church and say, hey, here's my stepmom. We're sleeping together. There was a process that took place for that. There's small things that all of a sudden it became okay for him to do this and that. And all of a sudden it was, we're in love, so we're going to move in together, but she's my stepmom. Are we building a culture in our church that where it's okay to say to each other, how are you doing? Are we open enough to say, I'm having a hard time with this that I know that God wouldn't want me to do because it's not helping me focus on Jesus? And how are we going to help each other be a light so that things like this, people from the outside, which will be my second point, can look at the church and say, they're different. We have no reason to say that their Jesus is bad by their actions. Does that make sense? my second point, which kind of goes off of that, was, are we holding the people around us that we're trying to be a light to too high of a standard to try to bring them through those doors? Does that make sense? Am I saying to my coworker at work that I've been talking to, and he knows that I'm a Christian, I look at his life and I say, maybe we can wait a little bit to bring you to church until you take care of these couple things, and then maybe I'll invite you then? Or no, I don't really want him to come with me because of this or that. Do we do that? Do we hold people outside of our made bubble to a higher standard than we should? Those are my two things. It's good to think about these kind of things as we start to form our culture, because really at Stiffity, we're kind of building who we are. It's good to start and think about these things as we go on, so that we can possibly avoid things in the future that could break us. I want to end on this. The amazing about this story, when we get to 2 Corinthians, we can assume through some of the text, it doesn't say it directly, but this man was actually separated from the church. He was taken out of the church. And we see in 2 Corinthians that Paul says, I've heard that he and you have repented. Let's bring him back. I find that amazing that Paul can say, kick this guy out. But then he, like my son did when he was walking down the hall, my son wanted to sit with us at the dinner table. He wanted to be there and partake and eat and be with us because he's a part of the family. But my son tasted as he was walking down the hallway that idea of being rejected, that feeling of not being involved and a part of the group, and knew that his rebellion against what I was asking him to do was the reason he took the glove off, washed his hands, and came back. Same thing happened with this guy, I believe. He was sent out of the church, realized what he had done, repented, and came back, and was again a part of the congregation. That's what we want. The point isn't for him to be rejected, but the point is for there to be repentance and a focus on Jesus, and to do that together. So I'd encourage you, if there is something in your life that we can help you with, bring it up. There's going to be people that can pray for you after the service. We're going to sing some more songs right now. But bring it up. We're family. And if there's anybody here who isn't a part of the family, who's wondering about being a Christian or what that looks like, talk to us too. I'd love to share more with you and share what it means to be a part of the family. All right, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that at times it can be very awkward to read your word because it's not very easy to read, but it shows us that the people in the Bible were also human. Jesus, I pray that you would help us to be a light in Hamad and where we live. I pray that you would help us to be people that represent you, that show grace, that show acceptance to the people outside of the church, but also focus on bringing them into the church. I pray you'd bless us this week as we go our ways. Amen.
Takk for at du hørte på ukens budskap. Vi har flere ulike møtepunkter der vi samles for å bli kjent med Gud og hverandre, og for å hjelpe hverandre å leve ut troen i hverdagen. Møt oss gjerne på en søndag, eller sjekk ut hamarfrikirke.no, Facebook eller Instagram.